Folks, I want to begin a series on the power of forgiveness because this was really brought out to me recently. And how many of you here know forgiveness is not an easy thing? And some of us have struggled with this for years. And I want to speak into this today because I think it's really important that we get forgiveness right. It's an incredibly difficult thing to deal with for anybody, anywhere, including us as believers. You know, my uncle recently passed away. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to his son, so that is my cousin, and I knew that had tension and that had unforgiveness and resentment in their family, but it ran so deep that on the death of his father, my cousin would not contact his mother. I mean, that's really deep. They hadn't talked for around about 5 years. He said, "I'm not starting now." And I said, "Man, you need to learn to forgive." He said, "I have forgiven, but she can make the first move." I said, "That's not forgiveness." But can you imagine the death of his own father, and he won't call his mum because he's too resentful, because he's harbouring unforgiveness? I was shocked by that because that's in my own sort of extended family. And possibly the number one destructive issue in families today is unforgiveness, and sadly in the church family as well. It's no different. Why is it so hard to forgive people that we perceive, that we think have hurt us? Well, if you have a Bible, I'd like you to open to Matthew chapter 18. We're going to have a good look at this morning. I want to start a series on forgiveness because I think all of us need to hear this. Many of us have so many things against so many people, and I'm including myself in that we need to hear the words of forgiveness. So Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. If you have a Bible, please open it there. If you've got it memorized, you're better than me. God bless you. But listen to what happens. Peter's lining the Lord up. He said, I'm gonna sort this forgiveness thing out. Because he said, there is a limit. I have reached my limit. And he goes to Jesus. Peter says, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times." Now he's extending himself a bit here. And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, I say 77 times." In fact, some translations say 70 times seven, which is more than 77. But the point is, Jesus is saying you need to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. See, when Peter asked that question, he was after a rule. Give me a rule. Because if you tell me I've got to forgive my brother seven times, then on the eighth time I can smash him. That's what he's thinking. Like seventh time, and he's sitting there, he's clocking it down, like measuring people coming into a COVID meeting. Click, click, there's another one. Six times, seven times, this is going to get good. Wrong me again, dude, I dare you, because I got my finger on the trigger here, you know? That's what he's saying. But Jesus instead, he uses a parable he's about to tell to offer, instead of a rule. What he says is, I want to give you a life-changing principle. This will change your life. And if you don't obey it, there are deadly consequences. Let's read on. "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now that is, in today's terms, that is millions and millions of dollars. Okay, you've got to get your head around the figures here. It's like millions of dollars. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees imploring him, 'Have patience with me, have mercy. I will pay you everything,' he said." And then out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is a couple of days' wages. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, 'Pay what you owe.' So this fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, I will pay you.' Same words as what the other guy used. When his fellow servant saw what had taken place, he refused and he went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went out and reported all to their master that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also, Jesus says, my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that as we open our hearts to you this morning, that you will speak to us about this great question of unforgiveness. Lord, we want to be laid bare. We have just worshipped you. But the heart of worship is that we would merge our heart with yours, that we would worship you, that we would be totally one with you, and we cannot be one with you while ever we harbour unforgiveness. So I pray, Lord, speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, that final statement that Jesus said, it's not implying that you lose your salvation. What it is saying is that you place yourself into a prison of your own making if you refuse to forgive. And all of us here are guilty of that, are we not? Is there anyone here who just forgives and it's real easy? Because I'm not you. You know, it's hard, especially if you feel you've been wronged. See, forgiveness in our society is getting harder to find. Did you realize that? It's harder to find forgiveness today than it was 10 or 20 years ago. Why? Well, our culture is a culture of self-assertion. Do I look like him? That's what our culture's like. We are pushing ourselves and our own ideas and asserting ourselves from an early age. In fact, we are taught that we have to grab all we can. We are taught that you have rights and you need to assert them, aren't we? From the ground. I remember as a young boy in school coming home and my mum rousing on me for something, and I said to her, how dare you talk to me? You have no right to talk to me that way. Guess where I picked it up from? School. Actually, from teachers. You have rights. Everybody has rights. And even in the family of God, we are afflicted by this malaise where we push our own barrow, we push our own direction and our own rights all the time. And we forget the incredible price paid by Jesus for our forgiveness, and we are ignorant of the incredible price we pay if we harbour unforgiveness. See, we forget that Jesus said in Mark 11, he says, and whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. See, we want him to forgive us. We want others to forgive us and extend us grace, but we don't want to extend that to other people. What about Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15? If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's a two-way street here, guys. But we don't want it like that. We want to push our rights. Not forgiving someone whom you perceive has wronged you is a really big deal, and it blows back on you. How many of you know that? It doesn't like you know, if you fire a gun at someone at point blank range, it's what they call blowback. All of their blood blows back on you, and that's what unforgiveness is like. It blows back on you. But we have built into us a culture of my rights. Everywhere you look, people are fighting for their own rights. They're fighting to be heard. They're fighting for this and they're fighting for that. They have their own agenda. They want to get what they want. I mean, think about it. Now, I've said this before, and it is a joke, but I want to say it anyway because it illustrates the point. You know, we think about human rights, about land rights, about gay rights, about women's rights, about animal rights, save the whale, and now we have Black Lives Matter, as if every other colour doesn't. We're all pushing these rights all the time, and I think we should just wrap it all up and have land rights for gay, black, female whales and then move on. Because we can get it out of the way, lay all of our rights aside and actually get down to the business of forgiving one another instead of fighting for what we want for ourselves. You cannot forgive someone if you're busy fighting for your rights. It doesn't happen. If your focus is on your rights and on how you've been wronged, then it's impossible to forgive someone if you focus on that. I want to talk about the power of forgiveness, because forgiving someone who has wronged you is, in fact, one of the most powerful acts that you can ever perform. It's powerful because it releases them, but it also releases you. Lewis Smedy said this, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." Isn't that cool? You set yourself free when you forgive. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. You know, we are really good at not forgiving one another. even in church. I grew up for many years in a country church, and we had a guy in our church who was in leadership who had not spoken a word to another church member for a decade. They attended church every week together, but they never spoke because of some issue that I think they'd all forgotten the issue. They just remembered that they hated one another and they're in the same church. We should be better than that, folks. And I tell you, that just controlled that guy. You could see it in his face. He was controlled by that hatred. Jesus, hanging in agony on the cross in Luke 23, said this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So Jesus is in pain. He's hanging on a cross. He's being murdered by these guys. And what does he pray? Does he say, "God, go get them. You show them where they're wrong. You smash them, Lord. Let them have it." He didn't say that. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So that's a great example of Jesus. That's probably the ultimate example of forgiveness right there on the cross. But I want to share with you three more modern examples of forgiveness because these really touch my heart. Some of these you know, some of these you may not know. The first is Corrie ten Boom. Now Corrie ten Boom, that's her there. She was a young lady. She was arrested with her family for sheltering Jews on February 28, 1944. Her father died a week after the arrest, and Corrie and her sister Betsy were sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp, which was a concentration camp for women. Betsy died later the same year, and Corrie survived. Check this out. She survived only because in December she was released accidentally due to a clerical error just days before all women her age were murdered by the SS in that camp. Well, years later at a church service in Munich, where Corrie had just preached on forgiveness, she came face to face with one of her former Ravensbrück guards who was at the meeting. And he came forward to her. He did not recognize her. She definitely recognized him. He was one of the worst. And extended his hand to her and he said, "I ask your forgiveness for all of these bad deeds that I did back in the camp." He didn't realize who it was he was talking to. And Corrie wrote this, "She struggled within herself and found that she could not forgive him, but that Jesus could. So she quickly prayed and found the strength to accept his extended hand." That is forgiveness. See, forgiveness is hard, but it's powerful. It takes great courage to fight, but it takes greater courage to forgive. Here's my second example, Robert Rule. You don't know this guy. Looks a bit like Zach, actually, but... you might know this guy. Does anybody recognize him? This is Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer. He's responsible for murdering. He confessed to 49 murders, they believe up to 60 young women he murdered, and he left their bodies beside the Green River in Seattle, Washington. At his trial in 2003, as he was being sentenced, they allowed what's called victim impact statements, so the relatives of those he murdered could stand up and tell him what he's done to their life and tell him the impact it's had on their life. So during these impact statements, he sat stony-faced while relatives of the murdered women hurled abuse at him. He was a hard-hearted man of impenetrable evil. That was until this man, Robert Rule, got up. He was the father of one of the victims. And this is, I read verbatim exactly what he said. This is what he said. "Mr. Ridgway, there are people here that hate you. I'm not one of them. You made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and that is what God says to do, and that is to forgive. You are forgiven, sir." These words were the only words that made Gary Ridgway weep. He burst into tears when one word of forgiveness was said. See how powerful this is? Forgiveness is powerful. It speaks volumes. It speaks more than anything else. It takes great courage to fight, but it takes greater courage to forgive. The third example is the Amish community. Does anybody recognize this place? A few of you might from years ago. On October the 6th, 2003, Charles Roberts entered a tiny Amish schoolhouse armed with three guns. He let several go. He took 15 young girls captive. His motive was that he had unforgiveness, there's that word again, towards God because of the death of his newborn daughter 9 years previously. He then murdered five of the girls before turning the gun on himself. Well, after the massacre, in an extraordinary act of forgiveness, the entire Amish community, including the families of the deceased girls, publicly forgave him, attended his funeral, comforted his widow, and offered financial support to his widow. That is forgiveness right there. It takes great courage to fight, but it takes more courage to forgive, doesn't it? Does that move you? Man, that moves me. Such an incredible act of forgiveness. When you have an unforgiving spirit, you put yourself in prison spiritually and emotionally. And see, you pay dearly for the luxury of carrying a grudge. Is it worth it? George Herbert said this, "He who cannot forgive breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass." Forgiveness is key. It's key in the Christian life. And it's key in our lives, not only with each other, not only in church and with others outside, but it is key for our relationship with the Lord. So let me ask you the question, why forgive? I suppose the first question really you should ask is, what's the big deal? Why do we need to forgive? If the world never forgives, why should we? Well, I'm going to give you some really good reasons why you need to forgive, and we're going to explore this in coming weeks. The first reason is that people matter. People matter to God. Genesis 1:27 says this, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." You see, people matter to God because we are made in his image. And like him, we are eternal. Did you realize that? That the souls of men and women exist forever. There are only three things the Bible talks about being eternal. One is God himself. From everlasting to everlasting, he is God. The second thing is his words. The Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And the third thing that exists forever is the souls of men and women. It exists forever. Either in heaven or in hell, but they will exist forever. They are the three eternal things. Because we are made in his image, every person has value. We look at people and we make judgments, but I'm telling you, every person has value. Every person has something they can bring to the table and contribute to our world and our society. Psalm 8, verse 5, David writes this, talking about man, "You have made him a little lower than the heavenly angels and crowned him with glory and honor." You see, we should see others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should see them as important and valuable. We should see them as someone that we should bring honor to, that we should care for, that we should protect, that we should cherish. Resentment is not caring for them. Unforgiveness does not honor them. If we harbor a grudge, if we hold on to unforgiveness, we are not honoring them, and they are made in God's image just as we are. So the first reason is that we should forgive them because they are made in God's image and they are eternal like us. And unforgiveness doesn't want to honor them. It just wants them to suffer and to get their just deserts. The second reason we should forgive is because we have been forgiven. I confess to you, it is only by the grace of God that I stand before you and breathe air today. It's only the grace of God that you're here today. Or in one of our other meetings. It's only the grace of God. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says this, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." We love to celebrate that, but his compassions are new every morning. The only reason we are alive and draw breath is because of God's great mercy. Therefore, it is unjust to withhold mercy from another, like the unforgiving servant. Remember, he was forgiven so much, but he went for a small value and he persecuted someone else. We should forgive because it's only by God's mercy that we are even here. We are so blessed to even be alive. The third reason we should forgive is because it sets us free. I've talked about this before, but you know, I often say this, unforgiveness is like drinking poison hoping the other guy dies. It doesn't work. You know, and because we feel, you know, justified in our pain, because someone else did this to me and that wasn't fair, we hold on to it, but we're only killing ourselves. T.D. Jakes says this, "I think the first step to understand is to understand that forgiveness does not exonerate the perpetrator. Forgiveness liberates the victim. It's a gift you give yourself. See, forgiving someone who has wronged you is not giving affirmation to what they've done. It's not. I've had to walk this road with many people. Because you forgive someone doesn't mean you agree with what they did. But what you do is you set yourself free. If you forgive someone because they've hurt you, then you're setting yourself free. It doesn't mean that you agree with the things that they've said and done. But we have this inbuilt sense of justice that says, if they've wronged us, if they've done the wrong thing to us, they need to suffer some sort of retribution. Otherwise, it's not fair. How many of us think like that? Raise your hand if you think like that. Yes, we do. I do. We don't want God to give us justice. We just want Him to give them justice. You see, if God gave us justice, then I would be wiped out immediately, and so would you, because justice sees us dying in our sins, but mercy sees us forgiven and restored. But how, you know, we want justice for someone else, but whoa, we want mercy from you, Lord. Well, if we get mercy from God, we ought to be able to show mercy to someone else as well. We cannot receive mercy from God and demand of God that He gives them their comeuppance. Come on, God, sort them out. Sounds a bit like the unforgiving servant again, doesn't it? I scratch my head sometimes when I see, you know, some of the Psalms. God, go and sort them out. Give them what they deserve, you know. Here's the thing. They will get what they deserve. There will be a reckoning, right? It may not even be in this lifetime, but I assure you that God, there will be a reckoning. There will be justice. But it's not for you to demand it. It's our job to forgive and let the Lord sort it out. Do I hear an amen? Romans 14 verse 12 says this. So each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Ouch, that really hurts. Isn't that a scary verse? Each one of us will give an account of himself to God. You know that thing you did that no one saw that you thought you got away with? There'll be an accounting for that. But then read on. The very next part of the same, of the next verse, verse 13 says this. So each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. You see, forgiveness sets you free. We should forgive because people are more important, because they're made in God's image, because we have been forgiven. And we should forgive because that sets us free. Why put yourself in bondage when you can be set free by forgiving? The incredible power of forgiveness is available to you right now. And I know, I'm not going to ask for show of hands those of you who are struggling to forgive someone else, because I'd probably have to put my hand up as well. It's not easy, I get it. But I believe that together, we are better together, that we can stand together and we can forgive that person who has wronged you, that person who has said something to you, that person who has taken from you. It's time to let it go, isn't it? That person who's hurt you, that's spoken words over your life, that person could be very close to you. It could be your mother, your father, your kids. It could be a husband or wife. It's time to let it go, to forgive. Because in forgiving them, we set ourselves free. So let me ask you, what is it that you need to forgive in someone else this morning? I know it's a hard one. I know it's a difficult message. It's difficult for me. I struggle with unforgiveness just the same. And I know many times we feel unjustly treated, but God doesn't suggest forgiveness. He's not saying, I think forgiveness is a good idea. He says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive your trespass. It is a command from Scripture that we forgive. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It is a command from Scripture that says you need to forgive. And all of us are in the same boat. We need to forgive. So my question to you this morning, as we break into groups, which we will in a few moments, my question is this. What is it that you need to forgive of someone else today? Maybe there's no one to forgive, but I bet there's someone there. I bet there is something there that you go, oh, like I don't want to forgive them because they've hurt me. And they were wrong and I was right. But if they were wrong and you were right, you still need to forgive them. Because mercy trumps justice. It really does. You should show mercy. It's more powerful than you trying to punish them for what they've done. Some of you may have held on to hurt and forgiveness for too long, even years. If you're still rehearsing things in your mind, do you ever go to bed and think about situations? Think about what's been said to you? Think about what's been done? Do you ever rehearse that in your mind? I do. Do you ever think of those brilliant answers you could have given, but you didn't? Gosh, I remembered that. We rehearse it in our mind. If you're rehearsing it in your mind, it's not forgiven. Truly. If it's filling your mind, and I'm speaking to myself here, if it's filling your mind, it's not forgiven. We need to let go of this because the power is in forgiving another, not in seeking justice and retribution. The power is in forgiving. They say revenge is a dish best served cold. Cold, why? Because it is cold and lifeless and dead. And you may get your justice, but it'll be dead. But if you forgive, it'll be life. So my question to you this morning, as we finish up and as we go to our groups in a few moments, is what is it that you need to forgive? Would you bow your head with me? Up in the chapel at the house party, what is it that you need to forgive? Who is it that you need to forgive? I'm not going to ask you to shout out names, but I'm going to ask you to search your heart. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Lord, I pray that you would just test our hearts right now, that you would speak to us. And if there is unforgiveness in our hearts, Lord, that you would show us. It's time to be brave enough to confront this. It's time to look at it and go, you know what? I'm going to deal with this right now, once, now, forevermore. I'm going to deal with this because unforgiveness will kill you. It will kill you. Do you want to be right or do you want to be free? Because freedom is the best choice, trust me. So what is it that the Lord is bringing to your mind, bringing to your heart right now? Just take a few moments. Search your heart. Just take a few moments. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us. I'm going to ask you to give that hurt, that pain. I'm going to ask you to give it to the Lord and let him deal with it. Let his Holy Spirit wash over you. And I want you to say these words with me. Say these out loud with me. Up in the chapel at the house party, say these words out loud with me. Say, Lord, I've been wronged. But right now, in your power, I choose to forgive. I choose to surrender this to you.